Welcome to We Mentor Mondays with Nancy podcast. Get inspired. Break through to new dimensions with your entrepreneurial peers on the journey of self-leadership mastery and life success. Reinvent or evolve yourself as you redesign your business. Dual innovation. Take charge of who you next become. Feel more deeply to think, act, lead, and mentor more clearly and more effectively. Learn something new from our conversation today.
It was an adventure in a very positive sense, because I think it's very common for us when we are talking about our professional experiences to omit things like curiosity and inspiration and mentorship, which are critical underpinnings of those professional relationships and professional development. So I applaud you, Nancy, for bringing this into the conversation and helping us understand the manner by which these other less obvious elements of our professional life play an important role.
Welcome to We Mentor Mondays. I'm Nancy. Today's mentor guests are founder of Blue Cube Bio and Chief Scientific Officer Allison Hubble, and President and Chief Executive Officer Karen Dodson are joining me today from two different locations in Minnesota. Hi, Allison. Where am I reaching you at?
I'm in lovely, sunny St. Paul.
Awesome. All right. And welcome. And Karen, where are you at in Minnesota?
I'm calling from my home office in Lake Elmo, looking out at the beautiful prairie grass in the Lake Elmo Park Reserve.
Ah, it sounds like a prairie home companion show. Kind of a good beginning to one. All right. Well, terrific. Well, thank you. And thanks for being on We Mentor Mondays with Nancy podcast. Our focus for today's conversation is about the inspiration ecosystem. So how compassion, curiosity, and coaching have led to an award-winning startup of Blue Cube Bio. Allison, how are you feeling this morning?
Curious.
Ooh, love the word. Yeah. And how about you, Karen?
I'm feeling really optimistic this morning. I feel like it's a fresh week. It's, as we tape this, it's election week. And our company is all about change and growth. And I feel like that fits in with the spirit of the week.
Yeah, it certainly does. Well, today's sponsor is Sally Doyle, who wants you to take action before the year's end. Great Lakes Bookkeeping not only provides relief from the tedious bookkeeping tasks, but also uses the information as a roadmap to advise owners of opportunities that can help their business. With over 20 years of experience and expertise, owners trust Sally to help them achieve their goals and dreams and keep their finances in order to do that. Right now, you can reach her to get a profit analysis, a cash flow projection, and the end of year advice going into 2021. So call Sally to get it done. The end of 2020 is finally upon us. So Great Lakes Bookkeeping, you can reach her at 651-208-8151 and one in front of the 651 if you're in one of the states. And you can reach her at greatlakesbookkeeping.com. All right. So thanks, Sally. She's really an inspirational sponsor, and she wanted to make sure that she gave you another opportunity before the end of the year to get your bookkeeping in order. Before we get too far into our conversation, I wanted to give you, as a listener, a little bit of background about Dr. Allison Hubble and Karen Dodson. So Dr. Allison Hubble, she's the founder and chief scientific officer, like I mentioned, of Blue Cube Bio. She's a key opinion leader in preservation with over 30 years of expertise in the field. In addition to serving as the CSO, Allison is also a professor of mechanical engineering and the director of biopreservation core resource at the University of Minnesota. Allison's research focuses on the development of fit-for-purpose protocols for preservation, the development of technology to improve the preservation process of cells, and understanding the molecular mechanisms of damage during preservation. So BlueCube Bio stems from 6 years of federally funded research on DMSO-free preservation led by Allison. What does DMSO-free stand for, Allison?
The most common chemical that is used right now to preserve cells is DMSO, which is an abbreviation for dimethyl sulfoxide. And so what we have done is we are eliminating that molecule, and there's a variety of reasons why we're getting rid of it. And we're replacing it really with strategies that nature uses. We're substituting sugars, sugar alcohols, and amino acids that are natural molecules that most of us eat every day for a toxic molecule that can have adverse effects on both patients as well as cells.
Wow. Okay. And in a minute, she's going to talk about how she came up with this amazing aha moment. And then Karen Dodson, she's the president and CEO of BlueCube Bio. And Karen has 26 years of cellular therapy experience working in numerous senior roles at the National Marrow Donor Program. Most recently, Karen served as the chief operating officer at National Marrow Donor Program, where she led revenue-generating operations with a profit and loss of $200 million in U.S. dollars and a global network of transplant, donor, collection centers, and international registries. So Karen strives to obtain operational excellence by streamlining processes and mentoring young leaders to reach the overall goal of enriching and improving lives. So together, they're going to share a little bit more of the background behind BlueCube Bio. I wanted to share with you how I found them. So they are the Minnesota Cup grand prize winners, and it's a highly competitive, prestigious honor, which recognizes organizations statewide for their excellence in entrepreneurship and investment pitching. So BlueCube was awarded $30,000 for Minnesota's Cup's Life Science / Health IT division, which is one of nine categories, before they went on to win $50,000 in the grand prize. Their winning venture was revealed during a live-streamed award ceremony from the University of Minnesota's McNamara Alumni Center. Now, the Minnesota Cup is one of the, it's at the U of M, and it's an annual opportunity for entrepreneurs to showcase their businesses and get some coaching and mentoring and funding and practice at really shaping an entrepreneurial venture. And you can see that there's a lot of dollars that are invested in helping fund this competition. And it's one of the largest competitions in the country, if not the largest, for entrepreneurship. Do either one of you know, is it the largest?
I'm not certain of that, Nancy, but it's definitely the largest in this region of the country.
Terrific. And let's kind of jump in. You've got this inspirational story of how you founded BlueCube Bio and how you formed a team around that. So can you share with us how you started?
Thanks for asking, Nancy. The need for what we're doing and what we're trying to bring to market became personal over a decade ago, when a graduate student at the University of Minnesota got very ill with blood cancer and had to have a bone marrow transplant. He received cells that had been frozen using the chemical we talked about earlier, dimethyl sulfoxide. He felt very nauseous and he felt like he couldn't breathe. It was a very frightening experience for him. I knew, even before I knew about his experience, that the chemical that's used makes people become ill. But this was the first time I really understood the impact that it had on an actual patient. And his experience really was a motivating factor for me. a few years later, I was sitting in my office in the winter and looked out the window and asked myself the question, why do trees survive Minnesota winters? My lab received funding from the federal government to adapt strategies used by trees to survive winter, to in turn help cells survive cryopreservation. We are now moving those strategies out into the marketplace so it can help people like that graduate student who receives cells therapeutically.
Wow, that is incredible. And Allison, what was the next step after you made that kind of connection?
Well, it became clear that we could actually do this and that other cell types could benefit from this approach and that we should get it out into the marketplace. And I started forming a team. The first two that kind of fell into place was two PhD students in my lab. Ray Lee, who has been with me for 5 years and is getting close to finishing her PhD, and Katie Hornberger, who has been with me for 4 years. So I knew that if I were to move this technology toward the marketplace, I would need this team, and one potential source would be students from my lab. And it's important for doctoral students to understand that one potential career path could be entrepreneurship. So I really had to get a sense if I could figure out if they were interested or not. So we had several students from my lab go through a entrepreneurship educational program that's offered at the University of Minnesota, and it's called MinCor. And there's a series of workshops that help faculty, students, staff, whoever, understand the process of commercialization and more importantly, figure out if there's commercial potential for what they're working on. I had several students in my lab participate, but Katie and Ray were so excited and so engaged. It was clear this was something they thought could be of great interest to them and part of their future. And in terms of Karen joining the team, I'll let her describe that.
Yeah, and I think when you have grad students that are so interested in an entrepreneurial venture, I mean, that can shape their entire research and their entire life. And it makes all the learning so much more real.
I agree. But, you know, there were other students who participated in the same workshop, and I can tell you they had no desire to go on for entrepreneurship, and that's okay. This should be something that is a passion or an interest for the person involved.
Right. And I think that bodes well to, you know, not everybody's an entrepreneur. Not everyone wants to take those risks or is jazzed about the opportunity. And so it's good that you had enough of a larger group, you know, to be able to see that there were some that actually were really interested in the cell research that you were doing. And Karen, how did you jump on board?
I first joined the team as a volunteer mentor. The team had won a National Science Foundation grant called ICOR, and it's a grant that provides funding for academic researchers to evaluate if their discovery in the laboratory should be commercialized. I served as an industry mentor while the team made over 120 customer discovery visits to potential customers. And after 6 weeks of intensive training with the National Science Foundation and customer discovery, the team made the decision to go forward and commercialize. And they asked me if I would be willing to serve as the CEO. And I was absolutely delighted.
Wow. So what was your background that led you into being prepared to take on this role?
You know, I had extensive relationships already in the field of cellular therapy from my work at National Marrow Donor Program. So I had made connections with several of the academic research institutions that were giving cellular therapies to patients or doing research to discover new ways of treating patients using living cells. And then I recently also completed my master's degree in leadership, and so have just a passion for leading and developing emerging leaders like Katie and Ray.
Mm. And where did you get your master's degree in leadership at?
I just finished the program at Oxford University.
Okay, terrific. Wow. So you've got a really young team.
We do, and it's incredibly energizing. It's there's just so much potential for the team, not only the company itself and the goals that the company will achieve, but for the career development of these incredibly gifted young women.
Yeah, because you're the bio team of four. Mm-hmm. Is kind of how you have positioned yourself with getting grant funding and in winning the Minnesota Cup. Did each of you kind of take on responsibilities in the process?
We did all contribute to the Minnesota Cup. I want to really point out that Katie,
yeah.
One of the candidates, served as sort of a project leader to keep us on task and meeting all our deliverables. And then we engaged additional mentors to achieve our goals.
It's excellent. And how many people are in the company right now that are employed by the company?
So we have our team of four, our core team of four.
Mm-hmm.
And then we've engaged a contractor to help us with our marketing and sales.
Okay. So you're kind of getting your team really solid and slowly kind of building out from there.
We sure are.
Yeah. So it sounds like you've gotten coaching and mentoring early on. I mean, you're in the startup phase yet.
We certainly are. And, I think I want to turn to Allison to talk a bit about the wonderful coaching and mentoring we've received from the University of Minnesota.
So thank you, Karen. It's important to note that we have received mentoring at all stages and probably will continue to get mentoring all along the way as we move forward. Carla Pavone was one of our early mentors. She directs the MinCorps program that we discussed earlier.
Mm-hmm.
She has been mentoring us all along the journey. And then we've had a variety of other mentors, such as Lee Jones, Martha Sewell, all of the judges at the various levels of the Minnesota Cup competition have given us insight and feedback and mentorship. Then we've got a couple of people, Andrew Morrow and Adam Bach, who have been mentoring us on other business aspects, such as the formation of partnerships. Entrepreneurship is a long path with many twists and turns. And as far as I can tell, mentorship is critical all along that path.
Where in your life, Allison, did you learn about compassion, and where did your entrepreneurial inspiration kind of start? Do you have some experiences where you really were initiating new development along, you've had a long stretch in higher education. And so have you always taken kind of an interest in advancing research in your field?
So I've been fairly involved with the translation of academic research into commercial products at the university. I was part of a team that obtained a large grant from the National Institutes of Health, and that grant enabled us to fund for 3 years faculty who were interested in moving their technology from the academic lab into the clinic or the marketplace to improve human health. So that probably started back in 2014. So I have a long history of interest in entrepreneurship and helping the University of Minnesota in particular move their wonderful research into the marketplace or into the clinic.
And how did you bridge kind of the mechanical engineering background with bio entrepreneurship?
You know, that's Yeah, I often describe myself as a random genetic mutation. So
that's a beautiful term.
You know, for me, it was important. I've always been interested in biomedical applications. And I took some biomedical engineering courses when I was an undergraduate. But at that time, there were not a lot of programs in biomedical engineering. That has since then changed. So my research interests have always involved biomedical engineering. And the lovely thing about mechanical engineering, to be perfectly honest, is it's a very old discipline. And as a result, it, in many ways, it's a large tent under which many are comfortable. Being an older discipline, we have allowed ourselves to evolve into all kinds of different interesting branches. So my work in biopreservation is just one of many branches in a very complex family tree that really exists in mechanical engineering.
Okay, that makes so much sense. And how about you, Karen? It looks like you've been in this industry of kind of critical care, research with bone marrow, people with, long-term illnesses. How have you kind of shaped your interest into entrepreneurship?
Sure. So, Nancy, I've just always had an incredible passion for improving the lives of others and making sure that their quality of life is the best that it can be. I was first drawn to cellular therapies because I just thought it was amazing that you could transplant cells from one person into another and cure diseases like cancer. What interested me in the discoveries of Allison and her team was that they're really breaking a barrier in being able to deliver these therapies to more people throughout the world. If you're unable to cryopreserve or freeze cells at really low temperatures, it's difficult to send those cells internationally or to, outside a big academic research institution so that many patients can receive the treatment that they need when they are ill.
Oh,
and
sure.
And so I find it fascinating that this really will spread the utilization of these treatments for many people.
So you have four products and two types of solutions. Can we go a little bit into the technical, the products that you're bringing to the market?
Sure. I'm happy to address that, Nancy.
Okay, Allison, go ahead.
Our first product is a product to preserve mesenchymal stromal cells. And these cells are being used therapeutically for a wide range of diseases. But what's most interesting is they are being used to treat COVID-related lung injury and also the multi-inflammatory system that certain children who've gotten COVID seem to be suffering from. So it's very timely for us to get this product out into the market. After that, we have a product for preserving induced pluripotent stem cells. And those cells in and of themselves are not used therapeutically, but they can be used to produce a wide range of cells and tissues. So they're a very important cell source for what we call regenerative medicine.
Where are you at in the process? How close is this being able to be released?
So the MSC-related product is commercially available, and you can go to the website and put in a request for a quote, and we'll get you a product to evaluate. The product for induced pluripotent stem cells, we're hoping to offer that right after the beginning of the year. So those two products will be available shortly.
Oh my gosh, that's amazing. So, okay, the name of the products again are M, small, lowercase m, and then cube. They're two, so C, capital C-U-B-E, and then GLP. Is that right?
And then, well, just remember M cube and okay. I cube.
Okay. And I'll have that information too, that's readily available so people can contact you. Where are you normally going to be selling these? Do these go to medical doctors?
The products are sold primarily to companies
right
that
now.
Manufacture cells for cell therapy. So they may be pharmaceutical companies, large and small.
Oh, right.
They may be
okay.
academic research centers that are researching the function of cells and how they might be used in patients. So there's a wide variety of potential customers for the products.
And how are you marketing this? Are you going to specific pharmaceutical companies?
You know, in this field, relationships are very important. So Allison and I have really a broad relationships across the, you know, pharmaceutical industry, academic industry, and transplant hospital industry. And we're kind of one-on-one educating potential customers about the advantages of using the products to cryopreserve their cells. We're explaining that they'll get cells that function more normally as they would in the body, and cells that they'll have a higher yield of living cells after they thaw their therapies.
Wow. Okay. That's wow. I'm just, it's really impressive that also, you know, consumers can contact you directly about the cell preservation and the product itself. So I mentioned four products and two types of solutions, and we're talking about the two solutions, right?
Right, and then we have more products in the pipeline, but we don't have precise dates for when they will be released for purchase yet.
Okay, all right, that's good to know. You can start collecting people's email lists and maybe put on your site. This is just a little mentoring for people to get more information. Well, you have something on your site for ordering, don't you?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. All right. I overlooked that. All right. Very good. So we've talked about your inspiration for this, the development of this cellular products that can help with improving a person's quality of life when they're having some sort of a blood disease. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay, good. This is a complicated type. It's the first time that I'm really, you know, hearing about anything like this. And so, you know, I'm just learning as you're sure. I'm learning with the audience. So part of the inspiration ecosystem is combining like compassion, curiosity, and coaching. So we talked a bit about coaching and the importance of how that led to an award winning winning the Minnesota Cup and the importance of a continued relationship, because having a commercialized business is really challenging. And there are many aspects to kind of broaden and understand of moving different pieces forward and overcoming some major roadblocks that are both in the science industry and also in the business itself. And so you talk about kind of the inspirational mix is to have compassion and curiosity as well as the coaching. So where did you each, and why don't we start with you, Karen, first understand compassion or learn about compassion?
You know, I've had many wonderful mentors in my lifetime, including parents, teachers, and colleagues that have demonstrated the importance of serving others and looking at the whole person. My ultimate goal, as I mentioned before, is to ensure that I'm working within a company that really improves the quality of life for others. As I look at working with colleagues specifically, I think it's incredibly important to engage the unique talents and perspectives of different team members. My leadership style includes ensuring that employees have resources needed for support and success, especially at times when the organization faces dramatic growth, change, or simply difficult times.
Right. Yeah, like with the year that we're in. It's not all bad, right? It's, you know, you've the silver lining of this is you won this major award, this grand prize this year.
Right.
Yeah.
And we've seen it. We've learned how resilient we are as a team. You know, we've had to build a company where we're not able to sit in the same room together, and yet we're able to make things work through our collaboration.
Yeah. And Allison, what about you? Where did you first learn about compassion?
Well, from my parents, and in particular, my father, who was a Boy Scout leader for well over 20 years. And he really felt that his role as a Boy Scout leader involved a lot of compassion for all the different young men that he worked with. And it's something he communicated very effectively to us as young people, because I was probably as old as those Boy Scouts were when he was their leader. So it was very interesting for me to watch him really use his commitment to service and compassion in leading young people to move forward with their lives.
Oh, wow. To see that at such an early time, early age is really wonderful. It really does make a difference in your entire life. Have either one of you had a course in compassion through any of all your coursework that you've done? Karen, you want to start?
I wouldn't say specifically compassion alone, but certainly I've studied servant leadership models and ways to sort of have constructive conflict resolution so that it's a win-win situation for both parties versus a win-lose situation.
Mm. Nice. And how about you, Allison?
Well, I like Karen, I don't think I've taken what I would call an official course, but I have done several years of mindfulness training, and compassion is a very critical element of that.
Yeah, and as an entrepreneurial team, part of the formula in resilience is to not only have compassion for others, but also show yourself compassion by taking the time to kind of like what you're doing is kind of absorbing some of the lessons you've been learning and then sharing them with others. But it takes some time to kind of reflect on your own journey and make sure that you're doing little things throughout the day to really take care of yourselves. So have you found it any difficulty or what is your, I guess it's two questions, any difficulties with self-compassion? Have either one of you had, or have you reached a point of compassion overload? Allison, why don't we start with you this time?
Okay. So that's a really difficult question to respond to in 2020 because of all the challenges that we have been facing.
Yeah.
And piled on top of the pandemic and widespread unemployment and homelessness everywhere I ride my bike. Karen and I and the team are dealing with a steady stream of phone calls for people who are wanting our technology. So at this point, we're really paddling our canoes as hard as we can. And I think it's been difficult to maintain balance and equanimity as a result.
Yeah.
But on some level, I'm not worried about that because all the work that we've been doing and all the inquiries just reinforce the tremendous need for this technology, in particular when we talk about it treating COVID-related injuries.
Mm. So part of the interest has helped fuel kind of your resiliency.
I don't know that I would use the term resilient yeah. to describe right. myself right now.
Right. right. I don't think any of us are feeling really particularly resilient. I think we're adapting and adjusting, but yeah. Hmm.
And so as a result, then, you know, to remain non-judgmental in that regard, recognizing the intensity of these feelings and concerns, and you know, we're also sitting there the day before the election, and that background of tension in the country associated with that. So at this point, I think we just have to be forgiving of ourselves and our flaws and our weaknesses, but keeping our eyes on the prize of what the long-term goal is. And the long-term goal is to improve the preservation of cells and make sure that these products treat as many patients as possible and make their experiences different from that graduate student who was so frightened by his experience of receiving cells therapeutically. So those are the things we have to keep as our North Star and our guiding principles.
Yeah. Oh, that makes so much sense. Yeah. And Karen, what about for you? Have you found a similar kind of challenge with compassion and how you're addressing self-compassion? Has that, how are you uniquely handling it this year in particular?
So I think as I've been reflecting, I've been thinking, I've just observed a tremendous amount of grace and understanding. Allison and I have been on conference calls with people right after their children have been tested because there's a COVID outbreak in the classroom. We had a meeting with someone whose house had been damaged during a terrible storm and had to evacuate his house with his children. And I think we've gotten to establish relationships that go beyond perhaps the traditional professional relationship, but give us a bit of an insight into what our colleagues are going through and the challenges they face. And likewise, I think those same colleagues have seen us navigate through the pandemic and other situations. And it seems to be helping to form bonds more quickly and establish trust more quickly because we're all being a little more vulnerable with each other, frankly.
Yeah, and concerned about everybody's well-being. I've never had so many emails with, you know, stay well, be well, you know, hope you're, you know, safe in the world kind of thing, messages. So yeah, it's a very different place that we're in with a lot of contrasts with hardening of messages and softening of our front side of how we're connecting with each other, trying to be kind and like you're talking about what you've experienced with other people. Yeah, so that's a really nice way to kind of finish out our conversation today. Is there anything that you would like to add in this first conversation? We're going to have a second conversation if both of you are up for it.
Absolutely.
Okay. And we're going to talk about the inspirational ecosystem and how you apply that compassion, curiosity, and coaching into your internal team. And we're going to get your particular, you know, Blue Cube bio perspective on how you're having, you know, raising your level of insight into how to make that happen within a team, especially in a year where we've needed to work more closely together and separately, but yet try to stay connected emotionally. So thank you so much, Karen and Allison, for being involved in this conversation. Is there any last things you would like to say about compassion or curiosity or coaching? Allison, anything? I'm putting you on the spot here.
No. That's, I thought just one more little story of where the name Blue Cube Bio came from.
Oh, that would be great. Yes.
So my kids are all grown up, but when my oldest son was
how many kids do you have?
Three.
Okay.
And when he was in preschool, we went in for, you know, the usual parent-teacher conference. And the teacher was sitting there and she goes, your son is just such a unique individual. And she picked up a wooden cube in her hand and she goes, if I would put this up and show this to the class, most people would say it's a cube. And she said, your son will look at it and say it's blue. So Blue Cube is really meant to embody that curiosity and that unique eye that looks at a situation, in this case, cell preservation, and sees it through a different prism. And we're hoping to take that prism, the prism of nature and naturally occurring methods of stabilization, and apply that to cell therapy. So that's where the whole concept, where the Blue Cube Bio came from in terms of a name. And so we really built in curiosity into our name and our perspective on how we develop products.
Yeah, and that will also be part of your formula for success over a long period of time, because that'll keep you nimble, right? And curious to learn new things and keep researching. Yeah. Excellent. Wow. Thank you for sharing where the name came from. I was curious about that. And so I'm glad you brought it up. And Karen, how about you? Any last thoughts before we finish out our conversation for today?
You know, Nancy, I just think I'd like to encourage the young women out there to really look at entrepreneurship. We see less women in entrepreneurial roles. And I think we're well suited to being the kind of leaders that lead well through change and adapt and are resilient.
Yeah. Yes, I think you're absolutely right. And I appreciate how you formulated your team to give that perspective. So thank you so much for being here, Karen and Allison. And thanks, Mike Cabea, our sound engineer, videographer, photographer, mon frère, brother from another mother. And thank you for tuning in. I just really appreciate that you've been listening and learning a little bit more about biopreservation and all the unique ways in which we can kind of take a look at our businesses from a more compassionate, curious, and coaching perspective. All right, we'll see you all next week and keep up the great work. Do you want to build upon your leadership skills and become more effective as a business owner? Do you want to reinvent yourself or evolve as you redesign your business? This is a dual innovation process. Are you ready to take charge of who you next become? If the answer is yes, I've been developing and implementing mentoring programs to thousands of emerging to experienced entrepreneurial leaders and business owners and their teams since 1992. I totally love it and feel I'm on this planet to involve the leadership in the world from the inside out. Of course, this means seeing myself as a work in progress, which is beneficial to you because I'm not stagnant and I'm motivated to create and bring you incredible programming all the time. So here's a few ways that you can get involved in our WeMentor self-leadership community. You can subscribe for free through WeMentor.com to the podcast. You can also find it on Apple Podcasts, which used to be iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, Spotify, Blueberry Directory, iHeartRadio, or TuneIn Radio, which is where you can shout out your request on smart home device through Alexa, Cortana, Amazon Echo, and Google Home. You can also become a sponsor of this program and support what's happening here in all these meaningful conversations. Or you can get one-on-one mentoring and go at your own pace as you evolve into the leader that you've always wanted to become. You can join a WeMentor Mini Lab, which we offer several times during the year. We're focused on some element of self-leadership and your progress toward becoming more effective. And the last and final way in which you can get involved in WeMentor's self-leadership community is by joining a one-year entrepreneurial leadership and mentoring lab where we dig into the details and help you with the operational along with your leadership skills so you can evolve with your entity and really, really progress in building the life that you've always wanted to build. So please check out wementor.com. You can email me, nancy@wementor.com, or call me, 1-612-804-8920. All right, keep listening, and we'll see you next week.